Welcome back to Clutch Time with Mike on the mic. It's your boy Mike, and I'm back with another episode. So let's get right into it, y'all. Breaking news from Adrian Wojnarowski, Woj, as we call him. I don't know if you guys saw it last night, but last night the Golden State Warriors played the Minnesota Timberwolves, and about 2 minutes into the game, a scuffle breaks out with Klay Thompson and I forget the kid's name from the Timberwolves. They had a little scuffle, and in the midst of it, Klay Thompson's jersey got ripped pretty badly. And Rudy Gobert looked like he was trying to, I don't want to say agitate the situation, but it looked like he was trying to break it up. But if you guys know, like I know who plays on the Golden State Warriors, Draymond Green plays on the Golden State Warriors, and he immediately came in and jumped on Gobert's back and choked him out for about, I don't know, a good 45 seconds that he had him in the chokehold. And the crazy part to me is everybody was like, oh, man, when is Draymond going to grow up? But to me, personally, I loved it. I know me, and I played sports. I played organized sports with a team. And I know if I ever saw one of my teammates in any kind of scuffle, oh, I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to fight because those are my brothers on the field. Whether or not whoever it is somebody I get along with personally, but – you put all that behind you when you're on the field, when you're on a team or on a court. And, you know, Dray and Klay's been together for years. I think they came in together the same year as rookies, or they've been on the same team since they were rookies. So they've grown up together. So you know that he's got Klay's back regardless of what's going on and how it's perceived. So I applaud Draymond for that. And the overreaction from some of the media and some of the people on Twitter was just like, oh, man, when is he going to grow up? He's got to stop acting like he's tough. I'm like, well, we know Draymond. He wears his emotions on his sleeve. He's a very loud player. He's a defensive dynamo. I mean, he's a four-time champion, so he knows what he's doing out there. Like I said, I didn't have an issue with it. Now, the breaking news was that he was suspended for 5 games for the altercation last night. Klay Thompson, Rudy Gobert, and Jaden McDaniels was the kid that got into it with Klay Thompson. They got fined $25,000 apiece, and Draymond Green will lose $769,970 with the 5-game suspension. So almost $1 million for a 50-second chokehold. And I think part of that is because of who Draymond is and all the transgressions he's had in the past as far as him toeing the line of getting into it with officials, getting technicals, questionable plays he's made in the past where he's kicked Steven Adams in the groin before twice. I believe that was back in 2016 where he kicked him twice. Last year when he stepped on the guy from the Kings, I can't think of his name right now, but he stepped on his chest. He got suspended for that game. So I think part of that is just based off of the not resume, but just the what people think of Draymond. I think that's why he got suspended for 5 games. I think that's why it was so bad. But like I said, I didn't have an issue with his actions. Me personally, I loved it because I know me. I'm going to go to war for my teammates regardless of if they were in the wrong or they were right. I'm going to stand up for them. And if they were in the wrong, I'll check them on the sideline or check them in at halftime or after the game, whatever the case may be. But while we're on the field, oh, I'm throwing the ones for my teammates. But that's just me. Everybody's not built like that. We're moving right along. Let's get into some NFL games with some picks. And then also in the second segment of the show, I want to talk about Josh Allen because if y'all watched the game Monday night, like at some point you can't keep turning the ball over like he does. But we'll save that for that segment. We'll save that for the segment. Let's get into these NFL games. Thursday, we got a big matchup, the Bengals and the Ravens, Lamar Jackson versus Joe Burrow. Both teams had a setback last week, the Bengals losing to the Houston Texans and the Ravens losing to the Cleveland Browns. Both lost by last-second field goals. I know we're only not – well, this will be week 10. We're only 10 weeks into the season. But for me, for the Bengals, this is a must-win game. Like, they have to win this game because if not, they'll be 500. 10 games into the season, they'll be 5-5. The Bengals are 7-3. They're the leading that division, the AFC North. It's in Baltimore. I'm still going with the Ravens, though. I'm going to go with the Ravens. I think the Ravens' defense is much improved. Besides that setback against Cleveland Sunday, looked like Baltimore had found a rhythm offensively, and Odell came back. So Lamar's got another weapon to throw to. Excuse me. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Ravens in that game. I'll go with the Ravens. I go with the Ravens 30-24. That's the Thursday night game on Amazon Prime. Game starts at 8:15, so I'll definitely be tuned into that tomorrow. And then Sunday, the first game up at 1 o'clock on CBS is my Titans versus the Jaguars. Give me the Jaguars. I've lost all hope in the Titans. Like I be telling folks, it's hard to be a Titans fan. It really is. I'm sitting here thinking, like I said, Will Levis looked good in his first start against Atlanta when he's flinging the ball. And then he comes out against the Buccaneers. And he just wasn't pushing the ball down the field. He had an interception. He just wasn't pushing the ball down the field. And I think that's what made him so good in the Atlanta game. Like, he was pushing the ball down the field. They weren't trying to be conservative. Now, I know Tampa Bay's defense is way better than Atlanta's. But my philosophy on playing against good defenses, you don't want to take – how can I say it? You don't want to take unnecessary risks, but I still believe you have to take some kind of risk against good defenses. Like, if you play – like, if I was a quarterback and I was playing against the Seahawks in 2013 when they had that legendary defense, one of the best that I've ever seen, I'm sorry – I'm going to try to push the ball downfield. I know that it was Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, Richard Sherman, and I forget who the other corner was. I know that they were the Legion of Boom and all that, but I'm still going to try them down the field. I'm going to set up the play. I'm going to keep running like short routes and then try to hit them with like a slant and go or a hitch and go, something like that. Hit them with a double move. Something to have them thinking, oh, they're about to run another short route and hit them with the go ball. Something like that. You got to set that kind of stuff up. So me personally, if I'm playing a good defense, I'm still going to try them. I'm not going to try them every play or every drive, but two or three times out of that, two or three, four or five times out of that game, I'm going to try for a big play. And I'm just have to live with the results because I think that's part of coaching. One thing we used to tell the kids that we coached this season, we used to tell our quarterback, Mike, he's got a great name, his name is Mike, just like me. One thing that we always told him was throw the ball. Like, if you feel like you got a chance, throw it up because we can live with if you turn the ball over, it's middle school football. We can live with that. Ain't no Peyton Manning's playing in middle school football, not North Carolina, not in Greensboro, not that I've seen. So throw the ball, man, throw the ball. Same thing in the NFL, same thing in college. I would tell my quarterback, we're playing a great defense. I would try them because the more that you don't try them, you allow them to settle in and do what they want to do. You allow them to dictate what you're doing offensively, and I don't think that you can win like that. I think you have to take chances, and you have to try defenses because the more – if you don't try them, then you're just allowing them to do what they want, play coverage, blitz, do whatever the case may be, and you're not keeping them honest. That's the one thing about a good offense. You're going to keep a defense honest in what they're trying to do or it's trying to take away from you. Yeah, that's my thing about Will Levis and the Titans offense. Y'all are scared to stretch the ball – stretch the ball. And like I said, I know that the Buccaneers defense is way better than Atlanta, but still, I would try them. That's me personally. But give me the Jaguars in that game. Then we got the Steelers and the Browns, both 6-3, both in the AFC North. I think whoever wins this game would be tied for first place in the AFC North. Or if the Browns win, they may be in first place since they've got that win over the Ravens. Deshaun Watson came out this morning, reported by Adam Schefter, that Deshaun Watson's going to undergo surgery, so he's out for the rest of the season. But the Browns have one of the better defenses in the NFL this year. I don't know if it's as good as the Steelers. They've got Myles Garrett, and the Steelers have got T.J. Watt, so that'll be fun to see which one dominates the ball better or dominates the game more. It's in Cleveland. I'm going to go with the Browns in an upset. I think the Browns got the momentum coming off that big win in Baltimore. The Steelers, the last two games, have ended the game on game-winning interceptions or game-sealing interceptions against my Titans, against Will Levis, and then against Jordan Love from Green Bay this past weekend. They sealed the game with interceptions to close out the game. So I think if it's close in the end with the Browns and the Steelers, I'm going to give the edge to the Browns. I think the Browns' defense is slightly, I mean, the smallest of margins better than the Steelers. So I'm going to go with the Browns in that game. And then we got the Cardinals and the Texans. Kyler Murray came back last week, this past Sunday, and he looked phenomenal. He gave new life to that Arizona Cardinals offense. They're 2-8. I don't think him coming back is going to put them on some kind of run to where they make the playoffs or something like that, but at least they can have a respectable season with their quarterback being back now. And like I said last week, CJ Stroud needs to be in the MVP conversation. He's definitely a top 10 quarterback this year in the NFL. I know it's only his rookie year and it's a small sample size, but what he is doing is phenomenal to be a rookie playing for the Houston Texans, who don't have a lot of talent on that team. But he is elevating that team. He's elevating that franchise, and I love to see it. Like I've been on the record of saying in the past, whether it be on this podcast, in my group chats, on Facebook, whatever the case may be, Ohio State quarterbacks do not do good when they go into the league. But CJ Stroud is trying to change that perception, and I love to see it. Like, he is balling out. He duelled with Joe Burrow last week, and he came down and he drove them down to win the game, to kick that game-winning field goal. So it's not like he's just going out there and his defense is winning the games for him. No, he's out there flinging the rock, throwing the ball, and doing what he has to do to win games. And the Texans are 5-4 right now. I think they're in second place in the AFC South. The game is in Houston, so give me the Houston Texans beating the Cardinals. Something like 24-14. And then we got the Raiders and the Dolphins. The Raiders are undefeated since they fired Josh McDaniel a few weeks ago. And they've got the black head coach now. I can't think of the man's name, but more power to him. I don't know if I believe he's the interim head coach right now. So I hope that he continues to do well and he's able to interview at the end of the season and get that job, because more black coaches need more opportunities in the NFL. Give me the Dolphins, though. The Dolphins just have too much offensively. They haven't beaten a good team all season. All the teams that they've beaten have been some of the lower-level teams in the league this year. All of the big games that they play, they lost to the Bills, they lost to the Eagles, and I believe they lost to the Chiefs. So that's their three losses. But, yeah, give me the Dolphins. The Raiders aren't great defensively, and they don't have any threats offensively outside of Devontae Adams, and he's not happy in Oakland. In Las Vegas. But give me the Dolphins. Tyreek, Tua, Jalen Waddle, Raheem Mostert, and I don't know if Devin Achane is coming back this week or not, but yeah, give me the Dolphins in that game. Give me the Dolphins 34-13. The Cowboys and the Panthers, definitely give me the Cowboys. The Panthers have just looked hopeless this year. Bryce Young hasn't looked good at all, being the number one overall pick in the draft this past season. And the Cowboys have rolled here since they lost to the Eagles. The Cowboys have three bad losses, that game to the Cardinals, that blowout to the 49ers, and that barn burner to the Eagles. But they bounced back this past weekend against the Giants and won that game. I believe it was 49-14 or whatever it was. They blew the Giants. They beat the Giants, but so yeah, give me the Cowboys in that game. Give me them winning that game big, something like 37-7, 37-14, something like that. I don't think the Panthers can keep up with the Cowboys offensively. The Bears and the Lions, definitely give me the Lions. I love to see what Jared Goff is doing and their coach and their defense. They look the Lions have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. That's how legit that they've looked. Their defense looks legit. Their offense looks legit. They have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And you don't want to go play with Detroit's in the dome. Never mind. I was going to say I'm thinking about Chicago being outside. But Detroit's in the dome. But you still don't want to play a team that can run the ball and a team that's got good defense in the playoffs. That's not what you want to see. And the Lions look good, man. Jared Goff looked like he's trying to resurrect his career out there in Detroit. So give me the Lions in that game. Give me the Lions 31-14. Then we got the Chargers and the Packers. We got Jordan Love versus Justin Herbert. Again, I'm not a believer in Justin Herbert or Jordan Love, and I feel bad for Jordan Love because he's the guy who came after Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has proved to be one of the all-time greats, top five quarterback in NFL history in my book. I know he's only got one Super Bowl, but the man is fantastically great. Definitely give me the Chargers in that game. I don't think the Packers have enough offensively to stay with the Chargers. And the Packers defense hasn't looked that good this year either. The Chargers have Joey Bosa and what's his name? Derwin James. Is that his name? The safety. I can't think of his name. They've got those two pieces. And they've got Keenan Allen, who's been one of the better receivers, definitely been a top 10 receiver this year in the league. He's always been a good receiver, but he doesn't get the name recognition that some of the other guys have because he's not as explosive as a Davante Adams, a Justin Jefferson, a Jamar Chase, a Tyreek Hill, guys like that. But he's been solid this year, definitely top 10 in the league in my opinion. So give me the Chargers in that game. And then we got the Giants and the Commanders. Give me the Commanders. Sam Howell's looked good. He's doing what he has to do. He's not turning the ball over. I think if the Commanders can get on some kind of run to where they make the playoffs, they would be a tough out in the playoffs. I know they traded away their two defensive ends, Chase Young to the 49ers, and I can't remember the other guy's name, got traded to the Bears. Montez Sweat, I think, is his name. Yeah, the Commanders could be a tough out in the playoffs if they make the playoffs. They can get on some kind of run and get to the playoffs. I definitely wouldn't want to play them in the playoffs. Going to Washington in the cold, wouldn't want to do it. But give me the Commanders in that game. The Giants are just hopeless. They don't have Daniel Jones. Saquon Barkley has been a non-factor this year. They don't have any weapons offensively outside of their tight end. I can't think of his name either. Sorry, y'all. What's that man's name? Darren Waller. He's their only offensive weapon. Really, I don't even know if Saquon is playing. I know he was hurt. And like I said, no quarterback with Daniel Jones. They got Tyrod Taylor, but Tyrod is a career backup. So I don't expect him to come out and do anything in that game. Then the Buccaneers and the 49ers. The 49ers finally got back to their winning ways last week after a three-game losing streak. And they looked dominant offensively and defensively. Christian McCaffrey finally had that record broke of most consecutive games with a touchdown scored. I believe he had 17 straight games with a touchdown scored, and I believe that was an NFL record. He was kind of upset after the game, saying, "I'm the only one that didn't score," which he didn't. Unfortunately, they tried to get him in the end zone at the end of the game, but they just couldn't do it. But give me the 49ers in San Francisco, and I feel like they're going to harass Baker Mayfield all day. The Jets and the Bills. The Jets beat the Bills in the first game of the season when Aaron Rodgers got hurt. And like I said earlier about the Bengals and the Ravens, feeling like it'd be a must-win for the Bengals right now. For the Bills, if the playoffs started today, they wouldn't be in the playoffs, which is not where they want to be. So I feel like this is a must-win for the Bills. It's in Buffalo. So I'll take Buffalo in that game slightly. I think the Jets defense, I believe their defense keeps them in it. But, yeah, give me the Bills in that game. I think Josh Allen will come out with a lot to prove. I'm still going to get on him in the next segment, but I think he comes out with a lot to prove in that game. And then the Rams and the Seahawks, give me the Seahawks. The Rams have fallen on hard times. They went for broke trying to win that Super Bowl with all the players that they signed, so they don't really have a lot of money to upgrade the team. I know Matthew Stafford's been hurt. Cooper Kupp has not been Cooper Kupp. Aaron Donald is still Aaron Donald, but he can only do but so much. He's only a defensive tackle. He can't cover people. He's not a linebacker. So give me the Seahawks in that game. And then the Sunday night game is the Vikings and the Broncos. First of all, shout out to Josh Dobbs, the quarterback for the Vikings. He got cut by Cleveland earlier this year. I believe he signed to Arizona, and then Arizona traded him to the Vikings for whatever they traded him for. And he's looked good in two games for the Vikings, taking over for Kirk Cousins, who's out for the season with an Achilles injury. So Josh Dobbs has looked good, and I got to give it up to Russell Wilson and the Broncos for winning that game Monday against the Bills. I don't know. I still don't know what it is. Russell Wilson doesn't look like the Russell Wilson that we've become accustomed to, the one that flings the ball all over the field. I believe this is four straight games now of under 200 yards passing, but he did lead him down the field to kick the game-winning field goal against the Bills after they gave up the lead. But give me the Vikings in that game. I believe that they're on a roll right now. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Yeah, give me the Vikings in that game. It's in Denver, but give me the Vikings in that game. I think they're just on a roll offensively right now, and I think that them coming into the Mile High City is going to either announce Josh Dobbs to the world, or he's going to fall flat on his face. And with the way he's been playing and the way he's been improvising, I think he's going to announce himself to the world. He's going to get paid either by Minnesota, or he's going to get paid by somebody, some team that needs a quarterback. So hopefully he can keep it up and keep doing what he's doing. And then the Monday night game is a big one. The Eagles and the Chiefs, and it's in Kansas City. It's in Arrowhead. I believe the Chiefs were on a bye week. The Eagles were on a bye. Well, both of them were on a bye week, as a matter of fact, because I know Travis Kelce was out with Taylor Swift while she's on tour doing whatever she's doing. So he was enjoying time with her, his new boo thing. And I know the Eagles probably used that week to try to get healthy, get Jalen Hurts healthy, keep A.J. Brown engaged, get the defense healthy, get some guys that are probably nicked up, get them some time off, and then come back this week strong to practice. So that's definitely the big game on Monday night. I'm definitely going to be tuned in for that one. It's in Kansas City, like I said. The Eagles are 8-1, and the Chiefs are 7-2. This is a rematch of the Super Bowl from last year, but the Chiefs look way different offensively than they did in the Super Bowl. The Eagles have only gotten better, as far as I'm concerned. They've gotten better offensively. I think they've taken a step back defensively, but they're still formidable. Give me the Eagles in that game. I believe the Eagles win 24-21 or 27-24. I think they win by a field goal. I think the Eagles have the ball last, and Jalen Hurts is able to drive them down the field and kick the game with a field goal to win that game to go to 9-1 and put the Chiefs down at 7-3. The Chiefs are still winning their division by a landslide. It's not even close. They're 7-2. The Broncos are 4-5. The Chargers are 4-5, and the Raiders are 5-5. So they have basically a three-game lead in that division with 7 weeks left to play, and I don't believe that they'll give up a three-game lead. The Chiefs are too good for that. Patrick Mahomes wouldn't allow that to happen, neither would Andy Reid. Yeah, but give me the Eagles in that game. I believe the Eagles win by a field goal, 27-24. So that's it for this week's picks, and we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, I'm going to get into Josh Allen, because what I watched on Monday and the – what I've heard all week and doing my own research on him, it's just like you can't play the way he's been playing and expect to win. But we'll get into it, y'all. We'll get into it. All right, y'all. Welcome back to Clutch Time with Mike on the mic. So let's talk about a certain quarterback in the league who I said Monday in one of my group chats with my boys that he is the modern-day Brett Favre, and his name is Josh Allen. Why do I say he's the modern-day Brett Favre? Because he turns the ball over at an alarming rate. Like, you cannot win in any sport. I don't care if it's peewee football. If you're turning the ball over, you're going to lose. And at this point, I think what my problem is with sports in general, with general managers, owners, NFL coaches, all of that, is they pay these players big money and they're so scared to check them. Like, they're so scared to say something to them because they're scared they're going to lose them or alienate them, whatever the case may be. But one thing that I've always appreciated about Bill Belichick as a coach, and I appreciate as coaches like that, is they don't play favorites. If you're not playing well, you're just not playing well, and he's going to call you out about it. Now, that I can appreciate. Josh Allen, for his career, has 94 turnovers in his career. He got drafted in 2018, so he's been playing from 2018 all the way to this year, so 6 seasons. In 6 seasons, like I say, he has 94 turnovers. He has 23 lost fumbles and 71 interceptions. His rookie year, he threw 12 picks, lost 2 fumbles. His second year, he threw 9 picks and lost 4 fumbles. His third year, he threw 10 picks, lost 6 fumbles. His fourth year, he threw 15 picks, lost 3 fumbles. Last year, he threw 14 picks, lost 5 fumbles. This year so far, he's thrown 11 picks and lost 3 fumbles. So, like I said, that's an average of 15 turnovers a season. You can't win a Super Bowl. You can't win big games playing like that. And Josh Allen's claim to fame is that game against the Chiefs in the playoffs where him and Patrick Mahomes lit it up, and he really looked like he was about to take the next step as a great quarterback. And he drove the after the Chiefs came down and scored, he drove the Bills right down the field and scored what we thought was the game-winning touchdown, but you left Patrick Mahomes too much time. They got down the field, kicked the field goal, and then they won in overtime. The Bills never even got to touch the ball. So that was his claim to fame. And then last year in the playoffs, I believe the game was in Buffalo and it was snowing, and he came out and got outplayed by Joe Burrow. That's why I would never rank him above Joe Burrow. He's a turnover machine. Like, you can't win games like that. And like I said, me personally, if I was the head coach or if I was his offensive, and this is probably what set me off, was Monday or Tuesday morning, the Bills offensive coordinator, Ken Dorsey, got fired. And I'm sorry, you're not going to tell me that Ken Dorsey is the reason that Josh Allen's throwing all these interceptions and having fumbles and whatnot. You're not going to tell me that's all coaching. Now, maybe some of the plays weren't the best plays in the world, but at the end of the day, the quarterback is the one still throwing the ball. So either he saw something that he thought he could throw in there and fit it in a tight space, or he just read the defense wrong, whatever the case may be. That's not all an offensive coordinator. And for him to lose his job like that, to me, is just the whoever fired him, the GM, or if it was the owner, whoever it is, that was, excuse my French, that was a pussy move. That was a pussy move, in my opinion, because you guys are scared to call Josh Allen out on his faults. To average 15 turnovers a season in NFL when you only have 17 games, and when he got into the league, it was only 16 games, but that added that extra game that you're averaging 15 turnovers a game. That's insane to me. That is insane. Because even the game Monday, Josh Allen was 15 to 26 for 177 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 picks, and a lost fumble. His QBR for that game was a 27, and the QBR is ranked from 0 to 100, with 50 being average. So he was way below average. His quarterback rating for that game was 59.3. So that's way, way average. Way, way average. So Josh Allen being paid as one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league, one of the highest paid players, and looked at as a franchise quarterback is beyond me. Like, turns the ball over too much. And Dan Orlovsky, who was a quarterback in the league, he was basically a backup, and his claim to fame is him running out the back of the end zone and causing a safety. That's what he's most known for. But when he breaks down plays, like, he breaks them down, and he really breaks it down, and I love to see it because I love listening to former players break down plays so the casual viewer can understand it. While I'm not a casual viewer, I definitely understand what they're saying, and I kind of see what they see. Now, they break it down on a level that I don't know anything about because I know football, but I don't know it to the level that they know. But with the way they're explaining it, I can definitely understand what they're saying, what they're trying to get at. So that part I love to hear. Hearing Shannon Sharp break it down on Undisputed when he was with Skip, listening to break down defensive, offensive plays used to just be music to my ears. I love to hear it. But Dan Orlovsky was breaking down a play, and the way that the play started, I believe they had trips to the right. I believe they had trips to the right, a tight end on the left, and then the far receiver on the left. And then they sent the tight end in motion, and then the routes they ran, he was so confused because it just didn't make any sense offensively. Like, where were you going to throw the ball? And then when he threw the ball, it was incomplete. And I believe it was a fourth down. I believe it was fourth and one. So instead of trying to run the ball and just get it that way, you guys ran a play with trips with four wide receivers and a tight end. And I'm like, what are y'all doing? When he's going through the play, he's like, what are y'all doing? Like, you could literally just line up and either do the tush push like the Eagles do, or you can run some kind of quick run play to get a yard. Like, if you don't trust your offensive line to get a yard, then I don't know what you're doing. But to spread it out like that on a fourth and one when you need to have it, that's just not the way that I was raised in football. That's not the way I would call it. That's just not me. I believe in running the ball first and then throwing later. That's just how I was raised when I played football. That's how I was coached when I played football. That's how I coach when I play football. Run the ball, we can pass it later. But that's just me. Everybody's not built like that. So Josh Allen, what he needs to do is he needs to look in the mirror and realize, like I was getting on James Harden last week, like, brother man, you might be the problem. While you are overly talented, one of the better quarterbacks in the league, I'm not going to take that away from you. You're great. But you turn the ball over way too much for anybody's liking. Definitely for my liking. I know it probably drives your head coach insane. He's not going to come out and say it to the media because he don't want to throw his player up under the bus. But I'm sure he's had tough conversations with his quarterback. Like, hey, man, you've got to stop turning the ball over. You got to stop throwing picks, stop fumbling the ball. Because one of them interceptions, both of them interceptions actually Monday, were just terrible. Like, what were you looking at? And, again, he's got a very strong arm, so he probably thinks that he can throw the ball into any window and get away with it. And it's been proven in the NFL since the NFL has come into existence. I don't care how strong your arm is. If there's not a window for you to throw the ball in there, you're not going to get it through. 9 times out of 10 is going to get picked off. Every once in a while, you might have one that you get through there where it's a miracle play, but if you keep trying it, you're going to get picked off. You just are. The athletes in the NFL are too good. The defenses are too good. You're not going to be able to do the stuff you're doing in high school and in college. You're just not. So I hope Josh Allen gets it together for Buffalo's sake, because if not, they're going to fire Sean McDermott next and say it was the coach's fault that Josh Allen's turning the ball over so much. And you can't just keep getting coaches fired, because at some point, you know, it's going to come back on you. Just like I was getting on James Harden last week, where he's getting coaches fired, players removed from the team and all this, and third. At some point, you got to take responsibility for your own actions. And I think that's what Josh Allen needs to do. Like I said, his claim to fame was that overtime loss to the Chiefs. And after that game, everybody got on his high horse like he was on the same level as a Patrick Mahomes, as a Joe Burrow, as a players like that. But he's not. He's just not. Patrick Mahomes is known for throwing, you know, interceptions too, but not – he doesn't turn the ball over like a Josh Allen. Aaron Rodgers never turned the ball over like Josh Allen did. Brett Favre did, but Brett Favre won 3 straight MVPs in the Super Bowl. Josh Allen's never won an MVP. He's never even been to the Super Bowl. So he's not even Brett Favre. He reminds me of Brett Favre with the way he turns the ball over, but historically, he's not even Brett Favre. He's not that good. So hopefully he gets it together, but if not – I see either the Bills firing the head coach or maybe they just get sick of it and grow a backbone and grow some balls and trade him. I doubt that'll happen because quarterbacks are too hard to come by in the league, but they got to do something, man. They got to do something. If not, the Bills are not going to get to where they want to get to, and it's evident that their wide receiver, star wide receiver, Stephon Diggs, is not happy with Josh Allen because immediately after that game was over, Stephon Diggs' brother, Trayvon Diggs, who's out with the ACL tear, he plays with the Dallas Cowboys. He's like, hey, man, whatever Stephon Diggs' number is, he got to get out of there. He tweeted that. And I know me, if I'm telling my best friend or telling my brother that I have an issue with such and such, and then they tweet about it, common sense would tell the regular person, oh, this is brother. He got that information directly from his brother. So obviously, he's not going to come out. Stephon Diggs is not going to come out and say it, but his brother is going to come out and say it. Hey, get my brother out of Buffalo because the quarterback is just not that guy. And like Swagoo said on First Take, I believe that was yesterday or it might have been today, the Bills window, he thinks, is closed. I think the window is slightly cracked. I still think they might have a chance. But if they don't make the playoffs this year, you can close that. You can close it. You can slam it closed and pull the curtains down. Pull the curtains closed, all of that, because I think it'll be over for the Bills. NFL windows don't stay open for that long unless you have a truly transcendent quarterback. Like if you have a Peyton Manning, if you have an Aaron Rodgers, a Tom Brady, a Patrick Mahomes, somebody like that. Them windows can stay open for long periods of time because of how great they are. But Josh Allen, all them quarterbacks I just named, he's not on that level. He's good, but he's not on that level. Not even close. Not in my opinion. He's not, definitely not Tom Brady. He's definitely not Patrick Mahomes, his contemporary. He for damn sure ain't Peyton Manning. He's for damnedest of damn sure not Aaron Rodgers. He going to have to figure it out, man, because he's a turnover machine. Turnover machine. I can't even blame it on the Madden curse like we generally do. This is a consistent thing for him. He turns the ball over. He's just a turnover machine, and at some point it's going to catch up to him to where if they do get in a big game, it's going to rear its ugly head at the worst time, and he's going to be turning the ball over left and right, and they're going to say they lost the game because Josh Allen kept turning the ball over. That's just how the world works. We've seen it one too many times. So, yeah, man, that's all I got on Josh Allen. Hopefully he gets it together, but if not, he's either going to get his coach fired, he's going to get cut or traded, one of the two. Probably not cut. He'll probably get traded before he gets cut, but he won't last in Buffalo if they had any balls and got rid of him because he turned the ball over too much and went and found him another quarterback. But that's all I got, man. Again, I appreciate everybody that tunes in and listens, and I'll be back next week with another podcast episode. I'm going to start getting some guests on here soon. Just have to line up schedules. You know, we're getting close to the holidays, so people will be all over the place, but we'll figure it out, man. As always, I appreciate everybody that listens and tunes in. I'll holler at y'all.